and welcome to Life in the Rabbit Hole, the Kaneo Parent Pod. I'm Lori Carice, a fellow parent living in the Kaneo Valley, and your host. Thank you for tuning in. For parent pod tales, community matters, and social topics, which include plenty of wellness content. Parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's as difficult as much as it's rewarding, and we've all heard from the beginning of this journey, it takes a village. So join us as we connect through Life in the Rabbit Hole. For everyone, everywhere. This episode is brought to you by Logix Federal Credit Union.
Seems like you can't change the channel these days without another celebrity pitching you a credit card, mortgage company, or big bank. We don't have any celebrities talking about us, but we do have stars. Thousands of them. From our fans on Yelp, Google, and Facebook. And we didn't have to pay them millions of dollars. We just had to provide better rates and terrific service over and over and over again. So while celebrities think you should try one more mega bank, we encourage you to listen to the stars that matter. They're just a search away. Logix. Smarter banking.
Logix Smarter Banking is a registered trademark of Logix Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Logix is an equal housing lender, NMLS ID 503781. Logix membership required.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Life in the Rabbit Hole. I'm Lori Carice, your host, and today we have a representative joining us from Senior Concerns as our guest. So I want to welcome Andrea Gallagher. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Lori.
So tell us about Senior Concerns.
Yes. So we're a little hideaway secret in the community that not a lot of people know about, even though we've been around for the last 45 years. So we are sort of the safety net for everything senior and family caregiver. So before the pandemic, we had an adult day program where we had about 50 people a day who had maybe dementia or Parkinson's, Alzheimer's disease that came to the program during the day so that their family caregiver or loved one could get some respite and so that their individual could get some wonderful stimulation and socialization and great nutrition. We do the Meals on Wheels in the community in Thousand Oaks and Newbury Park. We also have caregiver support centers, so we help family caregivers with the myriad of questions that they may have and run support groups for family caregivers. We have senior advocates that help seniors with information about Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits, low-income housing, all that sort of stuff. And we also offer pro bono legal and financial services. And we also created a number of new programs since the pandemic, but I'll talk about those in a couple minutes.
Okay, great. So tell me a little bit, you know, what does your caregiver look like, basically? Anybody who is caring for an aging adult, a lot of times when we think about speaking about needs and resources, you know, you're not actually speaking to the one needing care, but the actual caregiver. So how do you go about reaching out to those individuals?
Yes. Well, part of the challenge is that oftentimes family caregivers don't refer to themselves that way. They say, I'm a spouse, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a daughter-in-law. And so if you use the term caregiver, often they don't connect with that. So this would be anyone that is caring for an aging loved one, whether locally, whether long distance, or whether they live in a home, for instance, in an assisted living facility or a boarding care. And family caregivers have a big challenge with the aging of America and what we're seeing happening with seniors with chronic diseases, dementia, Parkinson's, even just physical frailty. And particularly during the pandemic right now, there's just a lot going on: transportation, medication, doctor's appointments. And quite often, the family caregiver doesn't feel that they're doing it perfectly or that they have the resources that they need or they understand where to go to get help. And that's what we do at Senior Concerns. We offer information, referrals, counseling, support groups. So there are a myriad of ways in which we can help the family caregiver. We also have some grants that we can provide for an individual to have in-home care so that that family caregiver for a period of time, so that that family caregiver can get a break, can go out and do some of the things that are important to them to help you know, refeed their soul so that they can come back fresh and new. And we also have some home modification grants. So maybe a senior that you're caring for might need a ramp or shower bar, those types of things. So there's lots that we can do for family caregivers and have been doing for a number of years.
So it sounds to me like you're a guide. You're actually going to initially work with that family and maybe go through a checklist and have you done this? Here's some opportunities or here's some resources. Do you really have just like that checklist to walk through?
We absolutely do. And one of the things that being a guide does is we've helped so many families over the number of years that we've probably gone through almost every situation with a family, with one, you know, a family or another that a family caregiver may deal with, whether it's loved one coming out of the hospital and needing incremental care to how do I help prevent my mom and dad from getting COVID and what kind of things can I do to help support them? So there really is a tremendous amount. And yes, we are a guide. We also offer in-home assessments. So all of the things I'm talking about are done with licensed social workers or MSWs. And so we do have a program where we'll go into the home safely. And so for instance, let's just say your loved one lives in this community, but you live a little bit further away. So we can go into the home and we do an entire assessment, physical, safety, emotional, nutritional, so that we can provide after that a set of recommendations to help that senior improve their quality of life.
So tell me a little bit about those specialists. Like what has changed from before COVID, now during COVID, and perhaps will continue to shift as far as their own precautions and their own concerns, because they often probably go home to their own family and, you know, they need to be well entering the home to do the in-home assessments, but they also need to walk out of there just as well.
Yes. So one of the things that we've also prepared for the community that we provide free of charge to seniors age 75 plus who are actually sheltering at home is a free COVID toolkit. And in that toolkit is paper masks, a cloth mask, antiseptic wipes, hand sanitizer, gloves, disposable gloves, a thermometer, a pulse oximeter, and I'll tell you a little story about that in a second, as well as a book about how to stay safe during COVID, and just as important, a booklet that talks about how to prevent social isolation. One of the things we're seeing right now is that we get a lot of calls from family caregivers or from a spouse that's saying, my loved one has declined dramatically during COVID because they're not socializing, because they're confined at home. And so we're able to help folks design some activities to do and ways to socialize, even for instance, if they're not tech savvy to do Zoom or something like that. So, and our social workers are obviously well-trained in ensuring that we try to keep the interaction as safe as possible. Of course, we're masked. We're more than 6 feet away. We try to do as much of the assessment outside, the conversation part outside as we can. And when we need to go, for instance, do a tour of the home for a safety check and that sort of thing, we go in and do that, but we try to do the other outside so that we can help protect the senior. But the COVID kits are meant to give the senior something such that when somebody knocks at the door, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's their grandchild that's coming to visit, they can keep themselves safe. So we actually had a woman most recently who we gave a COVID kit to, and she sent us a note. Actually, she called us up and she said, I want to tell you a story. She said, I not long ago had a stroke, but I've recovered very, very well, but I'm having in-home physical therapy. She said, I was with my therapist doing physical therapy and I was having a really hard time breathing. So I took the pulse oximeter and I found out that my blood oxygen level was really low. It was 85. So the therapist suggested that she call the doctor, which she did. Doctor told her to go immediately to the hospital and come to find out she had a heart condition she knew nothing about. She was in the hospital for 5 days. She said that this pulse oximeter saved her life. And she said the reason that we provide a pulse oximeter in that COVID kit is because COVID presents differently for older adults than it does for a middle-aged individual. Quite often with COVID, there's confusion, there's fatigue, lethargy. So it doesn't present itself as sneezing and coughing and sore throat and that sort of thing. But one of the ways you can know that COVID is affecting you is by understanding your blood oxygen level. So it's that little clamp that goes on your index finger that sometimes you see in the hospital that they'll, you know, be checking your blood oxygen level, which should be well above 95, generally speaking, for most people. But it's a great way for a senior to check on themselves to make sure that they're being safe.
Have you found that a lot of seniors are scared? I mean, really?
Without a doubt. That is, so we provide also, we will do free shopping service for the senior, grocery pickup. So what we do is we partner a senior with a volunteer. That volunteer stays with them through this entire pandemic so that they get to know each other. They sort of become friends in a way, so that when that individual is doing shopping for that senior, they know their preferences. They know they like Jif peanut butter rather than Skippy, that sort of thing. We also have a pantry. We started a pantry right during the beginning of COVID because we recognized two things. Seniors who didn't drive, who were taking Dial-A-Ride, of course, were very afraid to go in public transportation. And so that was the only way food pantries worked. You had to come to the food pantry to get food. So what we do with our pantry, and we have shelf-stable items, toiletries, toilet paper, paper goods, disinfectant products. And so what happens is the senior calls us up, tells us what they need, and then we have a volunteer deliver that to the senior. And so we're hearing all the time seniors calling saying they're afraid. Early on, they were afraid to go to the grocery store. We've now seen that that's not quite as bad, and they do have senior hours now. But there are a lot of other fears that they have, and that's one of the things we get a call about quite often.
And how about vaccines, if you don't mind me asking? As you know, the first round of vaccines may be available as early as next month. Right now, it's November. And they're talking about, you know, first responders and caregivers actually getting vaccines. Have you had any of these conversations with any of your specialists as to whether, you know, are they all on board? Are they hesitant? Are you excited that you would be included in the first round? What does that mean to you?
So we wouldn't be in the first round. So let me explain. No, let me explain how that works. So first of all, first responders would be the first ones vaccinated. And actually, they have to apply, you know, even though we've got these vaccines and they look tremendously promising, they have to get through the FDA and then they have to get distribution. And one of the vaccines, as you know, has to be at a really, really low temperature, of which, generally speaking, there aren't delivery mechanisms to make that happen. So once that happens, they're saying that they probably believe that first responders and folks that are in skilled nursing facilities, so think of it like a nursing home, will be the first to be vaccinated, and particularly skilled nursing facilities, because we're seeing that's where, you know, once COVID enters that building, there's a very strong likelihood that it's going to spread both to the paid caregivers as well as to some of the residents there. So that would be the first. Then let's say you have a mom and dad that live in community that, you know, live in their own home. Those folks would be part of the general population that would be going to get their vaccine at CVS, for instance, or Walgreens, or that type of situation. So there isn't necessarily, we're not talking January that seniors are going to be vaccinated. Probably won't be starting until the end of the first quarter is at least what we're hearing. I would also say that on our website, what we've been doing, one of the silver linings of COVID, if there is such a thing, is that we used to do our workshops in our educational series in person at Senior Concerns, which our offices are on Hodenkamp Road in Thousand Oaks. And now, of course, we've pivoted. They're on Zoom and they're recorded. So we've done two specific COVID webinars so far. The first one, maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, with Dr. Carlo Reyes, who's the head of emergency medicine at Los Robles Hospital. And most recently, we just did one last week. And he talked specifically about COVID testing, about when we should see the vaccines, about it really was eye-opening. And anybody can watch them. They're right on our website. If you go to seniorconcerns.org, and then you go under events, and check seminars, which is a tab. And from there, you'll see all of our pre-recorded seminars. Interestingly enough, one of our others that's quite popular is, will you pass your next driving test? Because if there is another fear that's out there by seniors is that they're not going to pass their driving test and therefore will be really limited in their ability to get out and about. And so we have the senior ombudsman for the DMV for Ventura County who presents that. And it really is a great seminar and answers a lot of questions. And of course, now we know also that the DMV has put an extension on seniors whose licenses were expiring. They have a year extension because the DMV has been closed for a period of time. They did reopen. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the future here. So,
okay, great. Tell me about some of the support groups.
So we have support groups for family caregivers, and those may be spouses. So we have three different types of support groups. So one would be caring for a loved one that has dementia. One is caring for a parent, you know, an aging adult. So you're the adult child, but you're helping to care for your parent. And the other one is a grief support group. So what we found is that the folks that are caring for a loved one with dementia, that support group is extremely popular. The challenge of dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia or Lewy body dementia is tremendously challenging. I have a friend right now whose husband just had to be placed in a facility, and she keeps saying to me, I wonder what he's thinking. And the reality is that he probably isn't using that critical thinking that she thinks that, you know, would normally be happening. So there's just so many questions, so many behaviors that you need to manage, so many situations that folks aren't in. So that support group is very popular, and often it's populated by a spouse because they're caring for their loved one who has the disease. And what was happening is over the time of the disease, later on, their loved one would pass. And those people were still staying in the support group. And so we created a grief support group separately so that they could now deal with the grief that, you know, from losing their loved one. It is a long road. Quite often, people are caring for a loved one with dementia for 10 plus years. So it's really a challenge. So those are the three support groups we have right now. They're all on Zoom. They used to be in person. I'm sure we will resume them in person at some point when it's safe for everyone.
So can people just join the support groups and not be involved in it with the rest of your programming?
Absolutely, positively. And you can go on to Senior Concerns website, go to the caregivers under programs, go to the Caregiver Support Center tab, and that will give you the information that you need. But yes, quite often, and you know, you don't have to be there all the time. One of the things we are looking at doing is figuring out how to get closed captioning for our support group, because we have a few folks that are hard of hearing. And just having that ability to be able to see the words as well as hear them can be really important.
Okay, great. Have you explored software that does that? Because I actually think Zoom has that offering.
They do. We've just sent in a ticket to Zoom. It's tough to get a person on the phone with Zoom, but yes, we just sent in a request ticket to figure out how to do that. Yes.
Yeah, you were talking about the silver lining of COVID. I think Zoom, the Zoom discovery is definitely one of those silver linings because, I mean, you know, we're using it for business, for schools, for community. And that's what you really have here with, you know, with all the caregiving support. It's a community. So when you talked about, you know, you don't have to join or attend all of the sessions, you get out of something what you put into it, obviously.
Yes.
So if you keep those connections, you can have that offline support also. And, you know, the fear when I had asked you, you know, are the seniors scared? You know, I'm kind of thinking, I certainly hope, my hope would be that seniors don't feel like they're left out, they're aging, they don't matter if it gets, if they get COVID. I mean, my goodness, that must be such a scary feeling if they've ever felt that way. And I'm sure caregivers have the same feeling, like, are my aging parents going to get the proper treatment and care they need? Because, oh, well, maybe they have, you know, X amount of years left. And every moment is valuable. I mean, we yes. all love our family. My grandparents are no longer with me, but I know that if they were still alive, my grandfather would be so scared for his family right now. And he would just worry about everything. And I think with seniors, you know, not only are they afraid for their own well-being, but they're afraid for their family. And they feel probably very hopeless.
Yeah. Well, we do know, according to the CDC, that 80% of the deaths that we've had in the United States that come from COVID are folks age 65 and older. So we know that it's different when, for instance, a child in school may be exposed to somebody who has COVID that's in their cohort, right? But it's different when you're 85 years old and you've got, you know, comorbidities, you've got, you know, heart disease or high blood pressure or Alzheimer's disease. So yeah, the thought that this catching this disease is certainly a lot more significant for seniors than it is for the general population. The one thing you were mentioning about Zoom, and I would point out that we're also seeing a worsening of folks that have cognitive impairment because they are homebound now without the mental stimulation that they might have had in the past. So one of the things we've done is we have twice weekly Zoom activity sessions, which include everything from live music to trivia contests to social interaction to all sorts of things. And one of the beauties of that is that if you are Zoom capable, it's a wonderful way to connect. And a lot of our adult day participants who used to come in person are doing this program now. And so they get to see one another. They're still seeing their friends. It's great. The other thing we started back in, I want to say April, was we now have monthly Zoom birthday parties for seniors. So my girlfriend, who was turning 77 in May and cares for her husband at home, this was also during the time of the riots, and they put the 5 o'clock curfew down and all that was going on in addition to COVID. And so we had planned to get together socially distanced in the backyard, you know, have a drink and celebrate her birthday. And of course, that didn't happen. And I thought to myself, how many seniors out there are having a birthday where they have no one around, nobody to celebrate with? So we have a monthly birthday Zoom. It's the third Thursday of every month. And our sponsor is Nothing Bundt Cakes. And what they've done is they provide us a buntlet for every senior that is going to have a birthday. We add a candle and little packaging, and we deliver it to the senior whose birthday it is that morning of the Zoom call. And of course, we have folks that just want to come on the call. It's not their birthday, but they'd like to celebrate with everyone. So we've been doing that every month. And I'd have to say, if there's a highlight for me in all of this, it's that Zoom birthday call, because it's just really a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. Because, you know, when this first happened with all the shutdowns, my daughter had her birthday like day three of all this. They didn't have the drive-by parades yet. They didn't have the Zoom gatherings. And, you know, I really struggled to try to make it a special day for her. And it worked out. Next year, she turns 13. So I keep telling her, you know what? 13 is the big year anyway. We're going to have a big party and we'll figure it out. Or maybe not, because that'll be in March. But as far as the seniors, I mean, doing that, a big celebration on Zoom, I mean, that's special. You can wear hats. You can
do
boas. You can, you know, clap and
do pretty faces.
Yeah, we sing. We ask them for their sage piece of wisdom. We every birthday there's a theme for everyone. You know, for instance, November was National Real Jewelry Month. So we didn't know that, but we asked everybody that was on the call, did they have a piece of real jewelry that means something to them? And so there were folks that had their mother's cameo, and you know, a couple of the men said their wedding ring. And so it was really, you know, somebody, it was a special pair of earrings, somebody, it was their mother's baby ring that they wore on their necklace. So just really lovely sentiments and a lot of fun. We tell a lot of jokes and it's a good time.
Oh, that's good. Now, You also mentioned that you have legal services, legal advice. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about that?
So we work with elder law attorneys in the community who donate their time. And so we have appointments twice a month. So generally, what we like to do with those appointments, if people have not yet put their end-of-life documents together, their powers of attorney, their advance directives, that's one of the things we really like to do with those appointments, because it can help everybody in this process to make sure that their wishes will be adhered to, you know, when and if there becomes that time. And in addition, but there are maybe other questions that an individual would have that they'd like to talk to an attorney about. And so we offer those. And then from a financial services standpoint, we have certified financial planners. And so those appointments are also twice a month. And we'd sit down. It might be that a senior wants to talk about, gee, I'm thinking I might like to live in assisted living, but I don't know how, you know, what are my finances going to be like, and how could I do this, and you know, what makes sense in terms of what I have for investments, and what do I sell and what don't I sell, and that sort of thing. So we also have, I mentioned, since we're talking about that, a referral service for folks that are looking to, at this point, place a loved one in an assisted living facility or in a boarding care, you know, those 6-bed homes. We work with 2 providers that actually know every single facility in the community. They know the makeup of that facility. They know the safety protocol in that facility. They know what the food's like and what the general population's like. And so it's a wonderful resource. They also help you to negotiate with that facility. So that is a you know, great service that we provide when indeed there does become a time when the senior can't live in community anymore.
So you really fill the gaps for caregivers and offer them all these guidance. Now, do you feel like there is still a missing gap that you're discovering? Maybe it's something new because of COVID as far as information. It sounds like you're kept very, very informed. But what do you feel is maybe the biggest missing link that needs to be worked on?
So before I get to missing, the one I'm going to talk about that's probably been the biggest growth for us is home-delivered meals. We used to do about 800 meals a month. We're now doing 4,000. So we prepare our meals at the hospital, at Los Robles Hospital, and then our staff pack them and volunteers deliver them. And what was happening is within the first 2 weeks of the pandemic, we hit our limit of what we could have at the hospital. So then we subcontracted with Country Harvest Restaurant in Newbury Park, and so they were making a lot of our meals. And then the governor announced a program called Great Plates. So that was intended to do 2 things: to help feed homebound seniors, number one, and number two, to help the restaurant industry, but definitely struggling early on. And so the way that works is it originally started 3 meals a day for a senior delivered to their home. Now it's 2 meals a day, restaurant quality meals. You can't order what you want. You know, there's a definite menu that comes, but our volunteers are delivering those. And we're working with Brent's Deli in Westlake Village and Country Harvest Restaurant in Newbury Park. And that program has really been a lifesaver, because if nothing else, what we're finding is that, for instance, maybe the adult daughter was shopping and preparing meals for their mom or dad, you know, before the pandemic, but they have children at home and they don't want to you know, put any kind of risk on their senior parent. And so that option went away. And it might be that the senior really doesn't know how to use Uber Eats or Grubhub or anything like that. So to be able to have access to meals 7 days a week is absolutely critical. And then, of course, our pantry supplements. So, you know, canned soup and tuna fish and, you know, dishwashing detergent and that sort of thing. So if I were to say the one thing, though, that we are missing, so I would say that there isn't enough value placed on a senior in our community. And oftentimes, when we're talking about how to treat the disease, there was a conversation about herd immunity. And, you know, there was a conversation about herd immunity and that type of thing. Seniors can't be collateral damage with this coronavirus, with this pandemic. We need to value them just as much as we value every other citizen. As a matter of fact, they have a tremendous amount of wisdom and connections, and they're the ones that built this community. If we love the community that we're in today, it's because they helped to build it. So that's the one thing that I think is missing, but I think that's going to take some social change. It's going to take really thinking about how we ensure that some of the most vulnerable and most valued, you know, we wouldn't want anybody's grandma or mom or pop to, you know, be lost to this disease, but indeed that's where the massive deaths are coming from, sadly. So that's the thing I think is missing. It's not going to change over, you know, overnight, but it is one thing we all need to recognize.
Yeah, that really makes me think of, you know, right now you're missing things like Girl Scouts come in and, you know, visit and wrap gifts. And a lot of times in senior care facilities anyway, you know, they have maybe some Christmas carolers or some little pop-up boutiques. And, you know, we can't provide that right now because, you know, we're all stuck and we don't, especially, and I'm sure most of these locations don't want the visitors right now either. But yeah, I'm just wondering if there's some way of virtually, you know, providing those types of services. I mean, we can all write cards, right?
And we are. So what's really beautiful is we have a group of people. There's some Rotarians and some individuals and some young kids that National Charity League is working with us, and they're creating cards for the seniors, and we deliver them with every pantry delivery. And right now, we're working with a couple of Rotaries and any individual who'd like to provide. We normally give seniors a care package with their meals at Christmas time. So think of socks and hand lotion and word search puzzles and things like that. So we can absolutely still do that. And that's one way that a Girl Scout group can, for instance, or a Boy Scout group can, you know, help support the seniors. The other thing I'd say is, all of us are still looking for content via Zoom. So if there is a choir or if there is a, you know, a way in which I just saw a beautiful, you know, all of us have turned to virtual events these days as fundraisers. And I saw Interface did a lovely one, and they had a Zoom room. And in the middle was a young woman who was doing a interpretive modern dance, and the rest of the chorus were in their own homes, but singing a song from Hamilton. And it was great. It was lovely. And so those kind of things can still happen. So I would encourage anybody, whether you're an individual or whether you've, you know, got a small group, that there is Zoom content and ways in which we also have friendly visitors via phone that can call up a senior and have a conversation with them. So we have seniors that are looking for that type of thing. So there's lots that can still be done. It's just done in a different way.
And, you know, for all those parents listening out there, if you have stacks and stacks and stacks of drawings and paintings, you know, we, especially in my own household, like in the beginning of COVID, I was just trying to keep my kids occupied, you know, with art and crafts and painting, because I myself was trying to wrap my head around, you know, what's next? How long is this going to last? What happens to my business? I'm filling out applications. There isn't any school. There was like an extra week of break. So I've actually got paintings all over the place, and there's plenty of senior care facilities in our neighborhood that I think it's time for my girls to make, you know, a donation with a bow and, you know, other parents. I mean, something just to consider. I know we can't really interact. You can write a card. Yes. We can connect with you or go to the facilities directly and, you know, spread some joy and love with the crafts the kids are making. So I'm going to kind of propose that to parents right now. You mentioned that
one of the things that I was just going to say, one of the things that when we get those, we keep them for a week or two to make sure that they're, you know, clear of, you know, any kind of, you know, bacteria or virus that might be on them, and then distribute them. So that's another thing that is important for us to make sure that, you know, even though they're saying touching objects is, you know, the chance of spreading COVID for that is pretty small. We just want to make sure that as we bring things into seniors' homes that we're being safe.
Okay, great. So I am learning that lesson because, again, you are the guide. You're going to guide everyone through this process. And maybe that's a better idea to connect with you for the delivery and let you handle and distribute and make sure, obviously, it's equal and also clean and going through protocol.
Yes.
You mentioned shortly ago about a gala. I know that you do an annual gala. I'm assuming this is a fundraiser.
It is. Normally, our ultimate dining experience would be our biggest fundraiser of the year. And, you know, of course, we're virtual now. But what we did, it was supposed to be September 25th. And normally it's, you know, 5-6 restaurants out in the garden at the Hyatt, inside ballroom dinner, wine, live auction, silent auction. So, of course, that has changed. So what we decided to do was a New Year's celebration. So it is 1 hour, New Year's night. It's free registration. It's from 6 to 7. We have national headliner comedians. We have national musicians. We are going to be having video, and part of it will be live. I'll be on live. We'll be having a live auction during that time. You can log on and see the silent auction items and bid. So, we thought, well, most people are going to be home for New Year's Eve, we're guessing. And even if there was some celebration in your family later on towards, you know, whether you celebrate East Coast New Year's at 9 p.m. or whether you stay all the way up till midnight and later, from 6 to 7, it's a wonderful opportunity for folks to support a great cause and come on and get some great entertainment.
Oh, great. So if you had a wish list, or maybe you do, what are your biggest need items right now?
So our pantry right now, as everybody is seeing, there is a lack of paper goods, right? Toilet paper, paper towels, bottled water. So those are the things we need for our pantry. And the beauty of delivering anything to us at Senior Concerns is we have carts. You take them to your car and you load up whatever you have to donate, and you just bring it to our lobby. You don't even come in the building. So and you can take a donation slip if you'd like one. So pantry items is really important because that, you know, we all need paper goods, and that's not going to go away, and bottled water for seniors. The other thing that I'd say is that if you would like some exercise as we've all gained our COVID-19 or however many we've gained, we have a love run. And this year it's also going to be virtual, but it's the entire month of February. So it's a 1 mile, 5K, 10K, or half marathon. If you participate and sign up, you actually get a beautiful finisher medal, an athletic t-shirt. You can join as a group. You can join as an individual. And again, both of these events, whether it's the New Year's Eve gala or the Love Run, you can find on seniorconcerns.org and then go under events and you'll see both right there and you can register. So there's lots of ways to help, whether it's short term, You know, for instance, the pantry items, whether it's supporting the gala or the Love Run.
Wonderful.
We normally have about 2,500 runners for Love Run, so it's a big event.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we can actually get back into the community by February. So COVID-19, as you said. Yeah, I think it was, you know, everybody thought they were quarantine 15, right? Now, months later, there's an extra 4 pounds, most likely. My mother actually is like one of the few people who's actually lost weight during COVID-19. I'm like, how are you doing this? So anyway,
Wow.
I know, right? I think everybody else is, you know, getting bored in the house. I sit here sometimes and I just look at the clock. Is it time to prepare another meal? You know, just because I'm kind of running out of things to do. At least I'm always defrosting something. There's got to be a meal to plan, right? You know, I've got the kids home.
There you go.
So before we go, is there anything else you want to let listeners know about senior concerns?
I would just say that even if you have a loved one that is not local, we can provide, you know, senior advocate conversation or caregiver support at this time. My mom lives in New Hampshire. She's 86. She's fit as a fiddle and she's in a COVID bubble with my sister. So it's kind of nice. She lives, you know, by herself, but she gets some socialization with my sister. And she's been listening to all of our webinars and, you know, they've been great and really informative. So I would say, don't let that be a barrier. And there is nothing better that I've seen. You know, originally we started out with about 100 volunteers that helped deliver our Meals on Wheels for us, our home-delivered meals. And now we're up to about 250. So what we found is that during the pandemic, people wanted to give back to the community. They wanted to do something. They wanted to make a difference. And, you know, frankly, because we support, you know, a frail community, there is, you know, a wonderful opportunity to support senior concerns in whatever way possible, whether that's, you know, a card, a picture, a monetary donation, something to the pantry, join one of our events. It really makes people feel good. And I think given this holiday season, you know, we, all of us that are listening to this podcast today, need to be thankful for what we do have and try to help others that might need it. So great way to give back.
I agree. You know, Thanksgiving is approaching and, you know, we all still have so much to be thankful for. And it's been said many times, you know, there might be a missing seat at your table this year or you're joining family through Zoom. Everything looks different, but we have to find ways to get through it and look ahead. And I want to thank you very much for what you're doing for the senior community, not only for the seniors to make them feel loved and appreciated and cared for, but also for the caregivers. These are amazing resources. I am extremely grateful. And I'm so glad that we had this conversation today because even these support groups, I have a lot of friends right now where their parents have dementia. And it's, you know, I talk to them about it, but I'm not experiencing the same, you know, situation in my household. So it's really nice to know that these support groups are available and they don't have to go through a lot of hoops, you know, to be part of that community. It sounds to me like I can just send her a link, you know, some of my friends, just a link, and they can start making those wonderful connections for that help.
Absolutely. And it's a safe space to be able to, you know, share what you're dealing with, but also to be supported. My friend who just placed her husband said, you know, she joined she went to her first support group via Zoom, but she said, everybody just kept nodding and saying, I know, I know, as she was explaining the things she was going through. And she said, you know, I felt like this was my tribe. And she said, I also felt validated, you know, that the things that I was going through weren't unique just to my husband and myself, but that others were going through them too. And others had some great suggestions for her. So yeah, support groups can be tremendously, you know, important if you'll give yourself the opportunity to join.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Lori. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today. And please subscribe to our podcast so that you can be alerted each time we drop a new episode. For bonus content, be sure to join us as a member and receive Green Room Diaries, After the Final Cut, Confessions of a Kaneo Valley Mom, as well as our exclusive wellness workshops. From one parent to another, we've got this. Just believe in yourself and remember, we're our own worst critics. Tell yourself and another that they're doing a good job.